Oh boy, it's time for your kid to get a cell phone. Maybe. How does a parent deal with that decision? It's probably as scary as a kid getting a driver's license. It might be just as scary. Let's face it, we as parents are faced with thousands of decisions over the course of our child's life, and we have to decide, what do we do with this? I was just talking to my son and daughter-in-law recently, and they were talking about what doctor they're going to take their baby to for to be circumcised. And the baby's not born yet, but that's a decision that's already on their radar. And I laugh and I think about all the decisions that is in front of them as a parent. I think about the decisions that how we're going to think about even breakfast when our kids are 3 and 4 and they're so adorable. And you know that they would just love Fruit Loops and Pop-Tarts. But can we go there? And if we open up their life to Fruit Loops for breakfast, like, will we ever get them to eat something healthy for breakfast? Decisions are just going to keep on coming. But cell phones is a big decision. It is a thing. We all know that cell phones offer up every type of opportunity available to a human, and a lot of them are not good. So as we discuss this, think about, really, there's many decisions that fit under the umbrella of this discussion today. You know, as a parent, what do you do about dating when your kid reaches that age? What are we going to do with that? How do we decide about sports and how many sports they should play as they get older, and the kind of clothes they wear, what's appropriate, the kind of friendships they have? Are overnighters okay? What about school, and what are the guidelines we have with homework? And if you're a parent listening to this, you might be sitting in the corner right now with a blanket over your head. I hope to give some perspective and some hope, so that you can be confident and bold in what you're doing. Because obviously this is very, very challenging, what you all are facing in leading your kids. Our kids now are 24, 26, and 28. And the reason we are so bold about communicating with parents is we've raised our own. We were in education for about 20 years. And so we've been watching families up close, really for about 30 years, watching families up close. And we've looked at the long haul. My wife used to teach kindergarten, and then about every other age between kindergarten and high school. And I've been involved in many different ages, and we've watched families progress over the course of time. So from raising our own family and being involved with literally probably into more than hundreds, you know, more than 1,000 families watching up close, we've picked up on a lot of things. And so we're bold about helping parents have clarity for how to look at decisions they have. Here's the first thing I want to say. If you want to boldly lead anyone, certainly lead your own kids. It's critical that you're in pursuit of living your best life. As a parent, we will not lead well if we stop living and all we're doing is chasing around our kids. I heard someone say something recently. They said to someone, well, my life is done. My life is just to serve my kids and help set them up for their future. That may sound noble, but that is not helpful. Our kids need to see us living our best bold life, especially when our kids become teenagers. Our life is the life we are living is the primary way that we teach them. It's not the words that we say, it's the life that we're living. Now I want to take some pressure off. For us to live our best bold life, it doesn't mean that we are wildly successful financially. It doesn't mean we have a certain type of job. It doesn't mean we have perfect bodies. It doesn't mean we have no bad habits. It simply means that we're living, to live boldly is to live free. Like, am I as a parent, as a person, not as a parent, as a person, am I living the life I was made to live? And when I think about that question, to me, it comes down to things like purpose and freedom and love. Am I living out my purpose? Because that's what my kids are watching. Am I living out my best bold life? Living our best life has to do with freedom. Is there anything in my life that has me bound? If so, I'm not living my best bold life. My best life involves things like love. Am I loving people well? Am I loving well my spouse? Because my kids are smelling for that. Our kids may not talk about that, but they're smelling for it. They smell it out. They know if our relationship with our spouse is not really where it should be, and it makes them very uneasy. When mom and dad love each other well, it gives a child a level of confidence and security in that home. So before we talk about this decision concerning phones, I want to say this. The best thing any human being can do for any other human being is to live our best bold life. And can I give you one life hack? If you want to live your best bold life, face your weaknesses honestly. Notice I didn't say fix your weaknesses. It just means face them honestly. If a parent has some kind of habit, that's not a good habit. If the parent is hiding the habit, they will compensate as a leader. And the kids will know it. They'll feel it. The leadership will not be very pure. The leadership will not be healthy. That same parent can have the same habit, but if they're honest about it, instead of compensating as a leader, they'll be authentic as a leader. And so how we communicate about anything and everything will be very, very different. So to lead boldly doesn't mean we don't have weaknesses as a leader or as a parent. It just means we're honest about the weaknesses that we have. So that's a life hack. If you want to live your best bold life, the main weakness in your life, just face it. You don't have to fix it, but you do have to face it honestly. And that means you don't hide it, and that means you consistently are doing something to work at it. Now, what about the cell phone? Your kid wants a cell phone. You might be at a time in life where you actually need him to have one for communication purposes. Here's the first principle I want to say. Put the weight of the decision on them. They're not going to be the ultimate decision maker. But if you are the only person carrying the weight of this decision, your child is basically acting like a dog. They're begging for what they want. And they're waiting to see if their owner is going to give them what they want or not. It's important that the weight of the decision gets transferred into their lap. Because your child, they need to have vision for how they will live their life. I'm going to say that again. Your child needs to have vision for how they will live their life. Some kids, they look at life and they think they don't take responsibility for what they should do. They only look at life and say, what do I want? And then they have to somehow get what they want to be approved of by their parents. And so they put all the weight of the decision on them. Mom, Dad, I want this. And then they sit back and they let mom and dad squirm. Well, we need to help our kids get to the point where they think at a higher level and they begin to ask, what should I want? So it's critical that with decisions, and the phone is just one more decision, but there's many decisions that can be faced like this. Put the decision in their lap. Do you think this is a good decision for you? I'll get more into this in just a minute. But that first principle is put the weight of the decision on them. This is about their life. So it's going to, and it's going to help you as a parent as well to realize, wait a second, this isn't like just all on me. And if I make this decision as a parent, it's going to ruin their life. Or if I make this decision, it's going to save their life. When we put the weight of the decision on ourselves, it's going to be hard for us to creatively think and guide our child through the decision. So take the weight off of yourself. Put the weight of the decision in their lap. So if we do this, the decision and discussion about the phones, we can leverage it for good. So three things I want to say about leveraging this decision on the cell phone for good. Number one, leverage this decision by asking questions. Do you think you're responsible enough to handle a cell phone right now? Now, I heard myself say that question with a little bit of sass. Don't do that. Don't do what I just did. You know, they want a cell phone. Don't make this an argument. Make this an opportunity to grow their thinking. Don't curl your eyebrows and be like, I don't know about that. Do you think you're responsible enough? No. You want to engage in conversation with them. If anything, let them feel like you're kind of that you're interested in this. You don't want to show your cards too early. Don't tell them you're not ready and then try to have a discussion. You want to have an open-hearted, open-handed discussion. So make it be open-ended. So they come to you, I want a cell phone. You know what, Johnny, that might be a good idea. Do you think you're responsible enough to handle a cell phone right now? And just see what they say. Relate it to other things in their life. For instance, hey, Johnny, so let's just think about this, Johnny. Keep it casual. Hey, Johnny, if I let you eat and drink whatever you wanted, how would that go? Do you think you could control that? Let me tell you something, Johnny. I have a hard time controlling that. If I don't have some boundaries for me, I can struggle with what I eat and drink if I don't have any boundaries. Notice you want a discussion to happen here. Johnny, if I let you sleep wherever you wanted, whenever you wanted, how would that go? If there was no bedtime, what do you think you would do? If I didn't check up on your schoolwork, how do you think that would go? If I didn't check up on your room and how clean it is, how would that go? Once again, this is not to interrogate them. You're not trying to make them feel like they're a loser at life. You're just trying to get them to think. You want them to think. They have to think bigger than just, oh, I want a phone. Well, mom and dad say yes. I want one. You want them to think. So leverage this decision by asking questions so that you're teaching them how to think. Secondly, leverage this decision by having them earn the phone. Now, it's ideal if they come up with their own challenge. And this could be anything. It doesn't have to be phone related. It could be a random challenge that you put out there. If you live in some place where there's a mountain near you and you challenge your kid, you know what? When you're tough enough, if you're tough enough to climb that mountain, I'll get you a phone. And you give some random challenge that's not really connected to the phone. You're really just using this opportunity of something they really want to challenge them to do something with their life that will help them grow as a person. And you can even make this fun. It's not like this thing you're holding over their head it can be, it's just, you're using this decision, something they really want. You're leveraging it to help them grow as a person. You could give them some kind of challenge like, you know what? Show me you can keep your room clean for 2 weeks in a row, and we'll go get you a phone. It might be, show me you can make your bed 2 weeks in a row. Maybe you give them a financial challenge, like this is how much money it costs. We'll pay for this much. You have to come up with this amount. And once again, leveraging this decision to have them earn this, this is not about punishment. This is about just helping them to grow for their own life. Thirdly, leverage this to open up a broader discussion that is needed to help them. Here's the kind of discussion I'm talking about. Johnny, the world is full of opportunities that have pitfalls inside of them. And you can list things. You can talk about gaming. Johnny, you have any friends that love gaming and they're addicted to it and they can't stop gaming? Do you know any friends that they love gaming so much that they're too lazy to do anything physically? How do you think that's going to go for them? Is gaming a bad thing? No. Gaming's a fun thing. Yet it causes people big problems. We can talk about food. Is food a bad thing? No. But does food cause problems? So obviously we're talking about here how phones can become addicting. And we can speak about examples. You can use your own examples. Johnny, I have to give myself limits, or I'll just look at this website way too much. I'll get on social media, and this is how it makes me think. This is how it holds me back. So there's a broader discussion about how good things can hurt us. What do we do about that? Johnny, what do we do in our life when there's good things that we have that cause us problems? The goal in this discussion is to not really hone in on the phone, but help them learn how to think for really everything in their life. So the question, do you think having a cell phone could have a negative impact on you? Do you think so? Let them answer, see what they say. Another question to ask them, what do you think the rules should be for you having a phone? And give some examples of yourself. Johnny, here's the rules I put on myself. I put rules on myself for my phone. And you can give the examples of things you do. Maybe at bedtime, you put your phone somewhere away from you. Maybe you don't get it until a certain time during the day. Explain the guidelines that you have. But I love to do this with young people, to ask them, what do you think the rules should be? The more that they come up with their own guidelines, it's the better. Why? Because you want them to think. You don't want them to think like a dog. You want them to learn how to think. They need to be a decision maker. Clearly, when it's all said and done, as the parent, you're going to be the one making decisions. But the more they feel the weight of this decision, the better. So you don't want to just jump in and say, okay, I'll give you a phone, but these are the rules, and if you don't follow them, I'm taking it back. It's better if you say to them, what do you think the rules should be? Okay, Johnny, those are pretty good rules. What happens if you don't follow them? Let's help them come up with the rule of, well, if I don't follow them, then I should lose it for a day or lose it for two. And you guys can negotiate about these rules. And of course, you as a parent, you're going to decide what they are. But if you can help them set guidelines for themselves, you're helping them maybe for a lifetime. Now, here's the last thing I want to say. Something I think it's important to communicate, especially when a child is a teenager, is to communicate this. Johnny, I have a responsibility as a parent to make decisions regarding you. This is your life. It's your life. Now, why are we saying this as a parent? We're saying this because we want them to take steps towards ownership and responsibility over their own life. The more that they take ownership, something really, really important will begin to happen. They will begin to have vision. With vision, they will think for themselves. And so as a parent, you won't be constantly making these giant decisions that alter their life forever. Your child will be equipped to make big decisions that alter their life forever, because that's what we're preparing them for. As our kids become 16, 17, 18, 22, 25, they're going to have in their lap decisions that can alter their life forever, and we can't be there. We can't be there. And so the more that we let the weight of the responsibility be in their lap, they're learning how to think. They're learning how to take responsibility over their life. And instead of just living like a dog, what do I want, what do I want, what do I want? They'll begin to think, what should I want? And as they cultivate a vision for life, they will be equipped to make decisions for their life. So this was just a bonus episode today. A Facebook friend posted a question, and I thought, you know what? I want to create some content on that. It's a big deal for parents. Parents have a lot on their shoulders. Just speaking to all parents, I want to say something. When you look at parenting, what is your goal? If parenting is a 10,000-piece puzzle, you need to have the cover of the puzzle box. You need to have a picture in mind. Some people parent without the picture, and so every puzzle piece is daunting. What do I do with this? Where does it go? But if we have that picture, just like putting together a puzzle in your kitchen, if you have the picture, you can pick up any piece and know about where it goes. And when it comes to parenting, there's no perfection. There's no exactness. Parenting is about knowing about where things go. It's general principles that guide us. And so when we have that picture in our mind of what the goal of parenting is, then every one of our decisions will become lighter, and we'll know about how to handle it. We'll know generally where it fits in the puzzle. So I hope you have a picture for parenting. That's something we love to do with parents, is help them create this mental picture of what parenting is, so that all the decisions become easier. And of course, the end goal being that our child is a fully functioning adult, equipped and prepared to live their best, bold life. My friend, thank you for listening. If you think this podcast is helpful to people, pass it on to them. It also helps us if you leave us a review. We thank you for that. It helps us to help people. Until next time, I want to tell you and remind you that your life has a purpose. You can know that purpose, and you can be set free from anything that holds you back from living it out boldly. Now go take on the day.